When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
By taking this stand, the Archbishop has taken a very potent stand in favor of traditional sexual morality and traditional values and against the spirit of the age.
Readers need to understand that the Southern Baptist Convention as an organization exists only about 2 to 3 days a year.
One of the things that did come out of the pandemic is everyone's recognition that I need community, that I can't just exist on the internet. That's not actually reality.
We see our whole life now through the resurrected Christ, and that our baptism into him and our continually being fed at the table is only possible because Christ has risen from the dead.
Insufferable grammar snobs love listening to Issues Etc., not Etc.
I remember in childhood, especially during those long summer days out of school with nothing to do, being bored. There was no reason to be bored, but I was often bored. That has not followed me into adulthood. Boredom is not one of my problems nowadays. I simply don't have enough time to be bored. But our children, do they benefit from a little boredom? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, June the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Anna Mussman joins us to talk about children and summer boredom. We'll do listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Comment line 618-223-8382. And then we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel teaching a Sunday school lesson. Paul has a shipwreck. He knows it's going to happen. And he managed to get everyone in the ship, although the ship is wrecked, out alive. Joining us to talk about children and summer boredom, Anna Mussman. She's a stay-at-home mother of 4 children. She's author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and a recent column for the Lutheran Witness magazine online titled Making the Most of Your Kids' Summer Boredom. Anna, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You say that boredom is like stress. What do you mean by that?
I think they're both things that we as humans find uncomfortable and things that we tend not to like, but both of them are part of accomplishing anything very meaningful, very worthwhile. We do have to be able to deal with stress or boredom, to do hard things and interesting things, and we have to be able to work through them and to be able to use them for our own benefit.
Why is our culture, as you say, terrified of boredom?
Yeah, people find it so hard, I think, to have quiet, to be alone with their own thoughts without that constant stimulation that we're so used to. You know, it's interesting how people just reach for their phone so quickly or seek out stimulation. I mentioned in my article a study where they found that the majority of people would rather give themselves electric shocks that were painful rather than sit in an empty room alone for 15 minutes. Just that quiet nothingness was so hard. And I think part of it is as a culture, we've lost a sense of how do we use quiet time? How do we live with our own thoughts and think our own thoughts and deal with who we are inside and find ways to use that calm and that quiet?
You say that children deserve ideas. What does that mean?
Right. I think children are humans, and humans are meant to think about ideas and have words and be. All of this is part of being a human being. And it's interesting how the way we raise our children usually kind of shows what we think of as the good life. What do we think the good life is? Because that's what we tend to try to give our children. And if we believe that the good life for a human involves thinking about eternal truths and important ideas, wanting to know what is true about the physical world and the spiritual world. We would want to give that to our children and introduce them to that and bring them into that. But if we as a culture, if we think the good life means just entertainment and frivolous fun and kind of meaningless, being able to do whatever you feel like in the moment without having to work hard in any way, then that's what we try to give our children. We think of that as the good things that they get to enjoy now as kids. I think as Christians, we would say that that first idea of the good life is much closer to the truth than the second kind of meaningless, entertaining existence. Like, we should be sharing ideas with our kids and talking about things that are big and things that matter.
How can this boredom be an opportunity to get into God's Word?
Right, and when we're trying to share ideas with our kids, one of the first places to go to give them something to think about when they're bored or just when they have quietness is God's Word. And I think we would all hesitate to say openly that the Bible can be boring. You know, we would hate to say that, but I think that we often, a lot of people would feel boredom if we just sit down and open the Bible and try to read it, because it certainly doesn't act like the internet, you know, and go ding, 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 and refocus us and give us something new and easy every couple seconds. It can feel boring to read the Bible, read Scripture, think about God in a focused way. And how can we live a Christian life unless we can work through that and learn to read God's Word and focus in a sustained way on thoughts that are difficult because they're big and meaningful as we read the Bible? So we have an opportunity to help our kids with this habit of thinking about God's Word, reading God's Word together as a family, and that's a great way to help them have this habit of thinking about something meaningful, focusing on something that is perhaps harder to think about and focus on, but then does give us so much more to think about in a moment of quiet and contemplation. And we can read it with them slowly, read little bits at a time. We can help them memorize verses so they have something to ponder in their hearts and meditate about in a quiet moment. And as we read the Bible together, you know, the more we're immersed in it, the less boring it's going to feel, because we'll know it, we'll be used to it, to reading the Bible, we'll be experiencing a lot of the riches that are there, and that reward helps us to enjoy the Bible and benefit from God's gift to us.
How do we teach our children to be observers of the world around them?
Yeah, I think part of it is to try to be observers ourselves, because, of course, kids learn the most just from watching us. I mean, we can choose to pay attention to what's going on in the world. And it's interesting because I'll see adults try to direct the kids away from paying attention to the world. I don't think they realize they're doing it, but kids will see an insect and the adults are like, ah, it's a bug, leave it alone, get away, look at your phone instead. Not quite the last part openly, but there's this sort of disinterest in the real world that adults can model. So we can do the opposite. You know, we can be adults who look at things and are interested. You know, we see the ants and we stop and look and, oh, where are they going and how big are they? And are these bigger than the ones, you know, back at home on the patio? Are they smaller? You know, what does that tell us? You know, what are they carrying? Can we guess what kind of food they're carrying? You know, we can be people who are interested in the stuff we see around us and who choose to stop and take that time to look with our kids and think about it as a family.
What are some practical ways that we can encourage creativity in our children?
Right. And I think as a culture, we've lost a lot of the opportunities for creativity. We like to talk a lot about creativity. And kids, here, you can express your creativity today by following this template and making this cat out of a paper plate. But we've lost a lot of the skills that give kids opportunities to really create meaningful things and real things. I think it's a great thing to teach our children real skills like woodworking or sewing or cooking or painting. We can use YouTube. You know, if we don't know ourselves, we can learn some of these things with them. And we can also just give them materials, too. I mean, kids do like to mess around with materials, and that's educational, too. They can learn how to come up with ideas on their own, how to make things. If we create that kind of environment in our home, if we let them have scraps of paper and old yogurt containers and string and glue and tape, and we let them create things, and kids will make all kinds of interesting things, tying string all over stuff, if you let them. And as adults, we don't always see the value of that, but it is valuable. It is them learning the materials, thinking about concepts, learning some physics, and practicing being people who can take something and make it into something else. And as they grow, being able to create and make things can be something that's very liberating for our kids, because they're not just passive consumers in the world, they're makers. And that's a really good thing.
Anna Musman is our guest. We're talking about children and summer boredom. When we return, why do so many children have so little playtime?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation, with Letter to Laodicea, an open door, holy, 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 lion, yet lamb, and he is worthy. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Making disciples for life. Across the nation, students are back in school in over 1,800 schools serving children in early childhood through high school. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in a safe, caring, Christian environment taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Connect today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family at lcms.org/schools.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago invites all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is October 28th to 30th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/C4C. cuchicago.edu/C4C.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific. At issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Anna Musman about her column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Making the Most of Your Kids' Summer Boredom. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is called Lord of Legends, Jesus Redemption Quest. It really is a walk through the life, the ministry, the work, and the saving work of Jesus Christ. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and order Lord of Legends, Jesus Redemption Quest, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. book of the month for June. Anna, why do so many children have so little time to play?
Right. One reason, I think, is just, you know, modern life is really busy. People have this perception that what we want to give our kids is involves all these things, taking them here and there and doing all the things, which I think is misguided. Because then we're robbing kids of the age-appropriate play and quiet and time to think and grow that they really need. Sometimes, too, it's because families don't know how to use unstructured time well. I saw a study where I think it was like 70% of parents said that one reason they enrolled their kids in so many activities was so that they could limit the kids' screen time. Like, they thought that if the kids were just at home, they'd be on their screens. And we don't have to be stuck between those two situations. You know, we don't have to give our kids screens. We can give them unstructured time, play time, and let them be kids and help support a good way of using that time. We can, that can be something that is really important and helpful to them as they grow as humans.
Why is open-ended play best for children?
I think part of the answer is because play is something that they should do. I mean, people can't really take responsibility for something without some freedom. If we're the ones directing the play, they are never using those muscles of being able to come up with their own play and direct their own activities, find things to do. But they're also missing that opportunity to really think through and process whatever it is they need to think and process. I mean, adults often process just through more abstract thought. We think about our lives and what we should do and other people in our heads, and we talk to others quite a bit about it. We have that vocabulary to discuss things. And I think one of the ways kids process things is by playing. They're going through scenarios and situations and possibilities and thinking through responses to all of that through play. And that's a way, I mean, God has made them to do that at this age. And it is so important for them to have that time, that leisure to just really think and work through these ideas, practice all these things and thoughts and activities as they play.
How are chores also a part of dealing with boredom?
Right. It's funny how so many things in life are comparative. I have often found that when I want to do creative projects like writing, if I have something else that's even harder and less fun, it'll be easier to like make myself focus on the writing. Whereas if my life is completely open, it can be harder to focus on meaningful things. And I think that's true for kids too. When they have some structure in their lives and they have some things to do that are a little harder, like chores, it does make that playtime so delightful and special and valuable. It makes them want to enjoy that playtime. And a lot of people will say that, well, you know, if I give my kids free time, they'll just come and whine at me and that they're bored. So I think a great solution there is like to conclude that they're not enjoying their playtime because they haven't had enough of a structured activity. And so, you know, if they come and complain that they're bored, you know, you can have them do chores and they will appreciate their free time after they've earned it by doing some chores.
So finally, is boredom good for children?
And I think it depends a little bit. Kind of like stress can be harmful. You know, stress can hurt people physically and mentally. And when boredom is a kind of just emptiness and idleness and purposelessness, that can be harmful too. Kids can get into a lot of actual harm because there's nothing meaningful going on in their lives. But just like stress can be good, stress can be the tension that is involved in getting through a hard thing and accomplishing that good thing. And it can even give us, you know, a little bit of adrenaline, a little bit of an edge to help us with hard things. The feeling of boredom can be, again, they're helpful as well. And I think some of the difference is, are we giving our kids the coping mechanisms and the ability to deal well with boredom? You know, do they have ideas to think about? Have we read them really good books so they have all kinds of interesting scenarios to act out in their play? Have we modeled being interested in the world and looking at the world? You know, are we supporting them with craft supplies and toys that are good for open-ended play? You know, have we set them up for success so that boredom can be a really wonderful opportunity to grow as humans and grow in their ability to think and create and play and do? Then in that case, I think boredom is a wonderful gift that we can give to our kids.
Anna Mussman is a stay-at-home mother of four children. She's author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and a recent column for the Lutheran Witness titled Making the Most of Your Kids' Summer Boredom. The Lutheran Witness magazine interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Learn more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, The Lutheran Witness magazine. Anna, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson when we come back on Paul's shipwreck in Acts chapter 27 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel.
Times of war have caused people throughout history to ask questions about the existence of God and the existence of evil. And yet we must confess that even amidst the terrors of war, God remains God. Nothing happens that he does not, at the very least, allow. If you've wondered these very things, especially as you've watched the war in Ukraine, you might find some of the answers you're looking for in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, Church and State in a Time of War. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Are you looking for a confessional Lutheran church in southern Alberta, Canada? Look no further than Resurrection Lutheran Church of Lethbridge. We rebuke false doctrine and call sinners to repentance. We proclaim the gospel to all and provide Christ's sacramental medicine to those who believe what the Holy Spirit has clearly and inerrantly taught in Holy Scripture. We practice these things in the context of closed communion and with the use of the historic lectionary, hymnal, and liturgy. Check us out at resurrectionlutheran.ca or like us on Facebook or call 403-915-4336.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Calvary Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana; Faith Lutheran, Groton, Connecticut; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho; Emmanuel Lutheran, Sheridan, Wyoming; Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas; Redeemer Lutheran, Benbrook, Texas; St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois; St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota; and Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.